Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. December hard red winter wheat, 691 and a half up 2 1/4. Soft December wheat is 644 and a quarter up 4. September corn, 487 and a half down 2. December, 463 and 3/4 up 2 3/4. September soybeans, 1424 and a quarter up 1 1/4. November, 1363 and a quarter down 4 1/4. September soybean meal, 477 down 250. October, 431.30 down 330. September soybean oil, 43.50 up 31. October, 43.70 up 44. October live cattle, 125.22 and a half unchanged. Now it's up 2 1/2. September feeders, 156.50 down 2 1/2. Make that 25. And October lean hogs, 90.10, and they are up 70.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
No matter how you slice it, I would think that most people would look at the jobs report and say it's a lousy jobs report ahead of the G20 meetings and the Fed meeting next week.
Yeah, and I think there was some other economic data this week that maybe put a little bit more of a bright spot on the economic fundamentals, Dave, and probably thought maybe the market would think that the trade would maybe continue to see the Fed ramp up to taper as we get into the middle later part of this month. But I think the Syrian situation in the post G20 press conferences that are going on right now, live between Putin and between Obama, would suggest at least to me that the Russian president has kind of taken the upper hand here from a political standpoint, and it's tougher on President Obama right now to get a unified voice coming out of the United States Congress and coming out of the American people about this chemical weapons issue. And I think that's affected the currency markets and affected the equities markets here in the United States quite a bit, and probably put more of a brighter light shining on that jobs report, and makes it a little bit extra bearish in my view.
Well, and we traded today under the 50-day moving average in the U.S. dollar index. Now we kind of scrapped our way back above it. But we're at a point technically in the market where you could see, with not too much of a bear push, a test back down to the $80.75 level.
Yeah, and I think that would not be too hard to see, fundamentally speaking, because some of the data that we've seen the last couple weeks, like I said, is more positive, but would also suggest that we're going to be more inflationary as opposed to deflationary. And so, as you know, one of the things that the listener probably wants to keep in mind is as we get towards 3% on the 10-year yields, and we bumped up against that this week, as we go to that and maybe above that, that may be negative from some investment standpoint, but from a economic medium-term perspective, that's actually pretty healthy because it's inflationary, and it would suggest that the Fed is confident enough to take off some of the money and pull back some of the loose liquidity. And that's not bad because, again, that would suggest the economic fundamentals are coming around. That then turns back to the economic fundamentals in the U.S. and Europe being better, and that bleeds over then and couples back together the stronger emerging markets. And that's really what it's all about, is the trade, generally speaking, has bought the U.S. dollar, bought the U.S. equities, sold emerging markets and commodities, and that rotation back away from that recent trading pattern may be in the not-too-distant future.
So let's go ahead and take that then to CME Group, where it's been a week very much where the bears have been in charge, particularly in the corn, trying to push that corn market down to the August lows. But it seems like they're running out of willing sellers heading into next week's crop production and WASDE reports.
Yeah, I didn't think that my expectations for this week's trade were not met. I thought that we would have a post-holiday weather-driven push higher into the September crop report estimates, because those September crop report estimates would probably show smaller supplies coming out of both corn and beans. Even though those smaller report expectations by news wires has come through, we've actually not seen the move higher. We've actually lost almost 20 cents in Dees corn here going into the week's close. And I think a couple things there: technical failure at the $14 level, 14.10 area in November beans, kind of pushed into the technical selling by the investment funds. Also, I think the increased pace of corn harvest, not just in the South, but also in parts of the primary corn belt. And I think this is a big feature. It's a bearish feature to the short term because there's more supplies hitting the cash markets, and that's why your basis has fallen back some. But I would also say that the fact that it's gotten closer to harvest than the trade was expecting would say maybe the supply is not as good as we get into this next round of harvest. There's central Illinois, central Missouri people, and even where I was in Iowa with Todd earlier, in parts, combines were getting pulled out of the shed and talking about running and shelling corn this coming weekend and early next week in some of the primary Corn Belt states. So I think the question last Friday still stands in my mind: are the supplies in the big picture still falling faster than the demand? And given the continued weather pattern and the fact that we have sped up the harvest pace for the corn, yes, the supplies are still falling faster. So I think we've come back to more of a disconnect between the cash and the futures market here as we get ready for the USDA numbers.
It seems like it could be a cash market that collapses another, I see some bids a dollar over, could collapse 50 cents over. Then we get the harvest post crop production in WASDE next Thursday because it's sped up because of the temperatures. And then we see what the numbers really are, and then we could just be bouncing right back up on that basis.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, and I think this is where the trend seems to be, continues to seem to be like 2009, Dave, where that bean corn ratio continues to get bought with the idea that the trade's looking at about a 7% stocks to use when it comes to beans for next year, and looking at almost a 15% stocks to use for corn. Where's the surprise at based upon the trade price and the futures price action and that bean corn ratio? I would say the surprise would probably be in the corn market if the production numbers were not as good. Now, some of the better areas like the Eastern Corn Belt and places like that are probably still 3 weeks away from getting into their corn. That's going to be the best corn of the year. So I think there's probably an up and down movement in this market that would correspond with production levels and harvest pace, and like you say, in the post-USDA report. But I would find it hard to believe that if the beans cannot get any good weather here in the next week, from what I've seen in Iowa and when I crossed Missouri and got into eastern Nebraska, and from what I'm hearing from some other people in Illinois that missed rains, I don't think you're going to get much help out of the weather after this next week. So whatever rains we get around the 11th and 12th, that's probably going to do it for the crop. So I'm wondering whether the beans really have a lot of downside if the weather stays dry with or without a bullish USDA report. And if that's the case, I think the corn will be supported off the beans again.
Well, if we fill the 3.5 cent gap that still remains from this week's trade, is the risk further to the downside before we try 409 again?
1409?
1409.
Yeah, I think the risk would be to the downside in the short term if the meal market backs away. Mm. But one of the big features to this week's trade, again, has been how the cash meal market has lit back up again on the cash basis, and that's really turned that September-November bean spread back around. And so I think you're neutral on the Sep-Nov bean spread with a slightly negative bend to the downside in the November beans here in the very, very short term. But if we come back early next week with a stronger meal bid in the center part of the country, then I think your beans are headed higher.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great morning.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas, taking a look at the current tick. September corn, 486.5 down 3. December's 463.25. It is up 2.25. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.